She was hankering after some grass in the field. nice purport describing this imagery, the cow and the bull, and how we can say the bull is Dharma and the cow is mother. And very nice discussion. The cow with her calf, the cow without her calf. Calf is, Prabhupada writes, is not always very beautiful to look at, but gives great satisfaction to the cow, and the cow is being very satisfied. She gives profuse milk, and the profuse milk has so many uses for society. And so that society, which takes the calf and slaughters the calf and takes the cow and slaughters the cow, it's abominable. These greatly simple acts are responsible for all the troubles in present society. People do not know what they are doing in the name of economic development. And the influence of power perpetuates it. So, Maharaj Pariksit is going to address this. Text 4. Maharaj Pariksit, well equipped with arrows and bow, and seated on a gold embossed chariot, spoke to the Shudra with a deep voice resounding like thunder. This is where there's good government. Prabhupada's purport, an administrative head or king, like Maharaj Pariksit, with full majestic authority, well equipped with weapons to chastise miscreants, can challenge the agents of the age of Kali, then only will it be possible to counteract the degraded age. Something can be done, not like nothing can be done, by spiritual influence to change. Political influence is also there. The political influence, even that requires support from kshatriyas, or at least that some kshatriyas become supportive. And, what we've done, kshatriyas, it's a trend. It's fashionable. It's politically correct. You know, the new president of the United States shows it. It's correct to bring change. That's what, you know, that's welcome about this nice man elected. We're going to bring change in the White House. You got my vote, people. And so it's just a little report from the United States on the college campus. It's not just, you know, on that level, it's just social change, activism. Activism is this. Social activism is the phrase, social change. Even on the plane, I was watching as the luggage was coming by. There's a whole group of people on that plane that were with Smile Association Inc. bringing about a change in the smile of one by one. Because that's another phrase, one by one. They're bringing about activism is bringing about change person by person. You don't have to be a big guy. You can just, you know, one by one bring about change. Another thing that's out there. So, but how do you bring about change? change of values, change of behaviors. Guided by what? Even if people become vegetarian, on what basis are they becoming vegetarian? But many people don't think that has anything to do with it. Prabhupada spoke about that when he addressed people, you know, what does it matter what you eat? You know, why do you have to be a good person? Why do you have to eat a certain way? You just be a good person. No sense of. And even when there is some sense of, you know, the connection between violence that's the product of what you eat, the deeper principle, the godly principle, it remains, you know, ahimsa, godless principle. In that godless state, the agents of calling at work. It's another layer of covering the God. Godless, not violence. Bhaktisiddhanta spoke like that very strongly. That where's the standard of nonviolence? Just ask a bunch of people, and that becomes what the standard of nonviolence is. That's what the standard is. One example, I share this with you. I attended a conference. I didn't, anyway. I was visiting Detroit for several days, and they asked me, would you like to on Friday night speak along with Dr. Ari, somebody or other from South India? In Sri Lanka, he has this worldwide society to promote peace. So I was thinking, not really. But, you know, it would have been so appropriate. So I spoke. I said, well, listen to this man. He's got this Gandhian Buddhism smoothie. Gandhian meaning help people. On the village level, develop cottage industry and indigenous industry and be self-sufficient and don't depend upon other people, government, nasty people, just, you know, your economy, your livelihood, help one another. Someone builds houses and someone grows gardens and someone does this and just help people. You know, be based in nature. Don't worry about those nasty people that are decorative upstairs. So he has tens of thousands of followers. And, you know, something, anyway, statistics. That the Gandhi on the Buddhism is God disappears. Be nonviolent. Don't hurt anybody. Try to help people. Be good. Don't be bad. What's the standard of good? One of the devotees in the audience, the devotee, because it was held at the Fisher Mansion at the temple in Detroit. It seems to me that this is a devotee who writes vegetarian cookbooks, and his thing, his focus in life is stopping animals fly. That's a devotee. That's like his thing. Adi Raj is the thing. Prabhupada is simple. He said, if we're interested in peace, wouldn't one of the first things that we look to for peace is my favorite topic, which is if we're living a violent life in relation to beings around us, are we going to have a violent society? Don't we have to look to giving protection to those beings around us that are helpless? And therefore vegetarianism should be a key element to this society we have. Now he was giving him the platform to speak, and then he gave a one sentence reply that was shocking. He said, that would be best. Adiraj was waiting for him to say more, and he didn't say more. You know, the implication is some people don't want to be vegetarian, like some of my financial supporters in the audience here who are American. They want to eat, that's okay. There's that sort of fundamental foundation principle of nonviolence, although I stand for nonviolence. I have tens of thousands of followers that listen to me and do what I say. That's best. But even with that voice in front of you, that would be best. Wow. I'll one more. Dalai Lama. Modern day saint. He's not vegetarian. And when his followers found out that he's not vegetarian, he came to Washington, D.C. for some protest. This was several years ago. To, you know, give Tibet back to the Buddhists, to the Dalai Lama, to help him. You know, there was a peace demonstration from the White House. Dalai Lama was the guest of honor. He was staying at a hotel nearby, he brought in vegetarian. He said, take it back, give me whatever it was, meal or something. And they said, what? He was treated. So, within the Washington Post, his followers were, what one might do in Tibet, and what one might do in Washington, D.C., need not be the same thing. If there is nothing in Tibet, then in Washington, D.C., there's plenty of whatever you want. A modern day saint. You can go down the list. That's different speaking, you know, this isn't versus that isn't. This is just principles. Well, this religion versus that religion is just principles. So how do you change such a degraded, misguided society? Bhagavatam says, you need qualified kings. What if you don't have qualified kings? You may have a degraded society. We can do the one-by-one thing, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission was also to bring about change of king. Just like when the spreading of Buddhism became so common when a king became Buddhist. Or in the case of the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Srinivasacharya, by his spiritual association, they became a Vishnupur into a devotee. The king of Manipur became a devotee. And for long periods of time, the state of Manipur still, devotee Vaishnava is very strong. But where the leaders of the head of society are not in sync with religious principles, it's got to be degraded. Just before catching the flight on the way to come to India, there was, you know, all this television, the CNN thing, going on the monitor. They were interviewing, I think his first public address or something like that, the new president, listing the things that he's supporting. You know, some of them sound okay. And then money for abortion. One of the first things. Like, the very first thing he did was ethics in the White House. No, the message is no, nothing unethical. High standards of ethics and conduct. No Bill Clinton stuff, and no money stuff, no funny stuff. Ethics, strict. Hey, unethical. And then, this reform, that reform, and then money for abortion. Needs to reach him in the Bible, tell him something. In the absence, so strength needs to be applied properly. There's two messages. One is there has to be a strong administrator, we had a strong administrator in America, and he was in that case. And it turned out that got another strong administrator who's not properly guided. But this man can't truly believe in what he's doing, has something, faith in something, but misguided. So strong but properly guided strength. In the absence of strong executive heads, there's always disruption and tranquility. The elected show bottle executive head as a representative, as a representative of a degraded public cannot be equal with a strong king like Maharaj Pariksit. The dress or style of royal order does not count. It is what's one's actions which are counted. It is one's actions which are counted. So actions have to follow training. Say it the other way around. A sign of proper training is proper action. That's what Prabhupada goes into in the next verse, or in the next purport. You can't blame such persons, in one sense, because they're doing their best. Except that just happened to be misdirected. But they're doing their best. So that's the dominical function. Of course, there has to be willingness to receive that. And best is from childhood to properly train. It's hard to retrain somebody who's always had another value system, but it's doable. Text tried. Oh, who are you? Lord Krishna is speaking to Kali. You appear to be strong. And yet you dare, within my protection, to kill those who are helpless? By your dress, you pose yourself to be a godly man, a king. But by your deeds, you are opposing the principles of the twice-born Kshatriyas. To challenge those who are opposing themselves. Prabhupada's purport. The Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas are all called twice-born. For these higher classes of men, there is one birth by parental conjugation, and there is another birth by cultural rejuvenation, by spiritual initiation from the bona fide acharya, or spiritual master. Of course, by spiritual initiation isn't just like a magic wand. It's my spiritual initiation with all the process leading up to initiation. That's the cultural rejuvenation. Our acharyas speak. Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada speak quite strongly Bhakti-bhakti Thakur very strongly, it's useless. It's initiation without training. It's useless. So Bhakti-bhakti Thakur wrote it in the present time. This is very common. Mass initiation, so many people don't even know what they're doing. Nor does the person initiating know what they're doing. And they're initiated and following God knows what. So it's quite spiritual initiation implies training and Prabhupada of using the phrase cultural rejuvenation. Now cultural rejuvenation doesn't mean everyone's supposed to take art classes and poetry classes and music classes and architecture classes so they know how to make, you know, culture and dance classes and then it's, you know, fine arts. Cultural rejuvenation does include those things if one has propensity for playing music or performing art or drama. It should be God-centered, that kind of. But cultural rejuvenation means in any sphere of life, maybe. So you may use the phrase corporate culture, so how people interact with one another. What's our ethos? What are those things which we value? And our current president, I haven't heard him speak much, but a little bit. And, you know, he's got the lingo, you know, values. He stands for values. So what are those values? And who are you? Anyway. It requires training. And this is the rabbinical part. And that's a big part of what ISKCON is supposed to be doing. The Prabhupada is thinking, he's making a call in these purports for the right standard, but it's, who's going to think about the standard? Is Prabhupada like a man standing in the darkness of night in the forest and calling out in all directions and nobody will hear him? Is he wasting his time doing that? He's addressing an audience, his readership, that should understand and take to heart what's okay. This is the mission. Now what's my part in that mission? One is to receive proper training. And then another is, when trained, to train others. So, a Kshatriya is also twice born like a Brahmana, and his duty is to give protection to the helpless. A Kshatriya king is considered to be the representative of God. That's in the verse. You yourself are a god, you're posing yourself as a godly man for the kings to be the representative of God. As God owns, it flows. Everything comes from God. So he owns everything. And who's the king? He's the representative of God. So the king owns things. So the king should understand, I don't own anything. It belongs to God. And on his behalf, I own things. I'm just a manager of his property. And you manage according to his rule. That's therefore the property now. When Haridas Thakur came before the king in Puliya, I spoke about this on Sunday at the New York Temple. He was brought before the king and he said, you're a godly man. You're the representative of God. You can do with me whatever you like. It's your duty to do the proper thing according to the laws of God. And according to the laws of God, if somebody was born a Muslim and becomes a Hindu, how would you punish him? Someone was born a Hindu and becomes a Muslim, how would you punish him? I think you should punish me in the same way. Because we're looking at the love of God. Or when Sanatana Goswami was asked by Nala Hussein Shah, who is this saint that has come to my area? Sanatana Goswami said, you must know you're the representative of God. Why are you asking me? Because I'm your minister, I'll tell you. But you're not knowing. Because you're the representative of God. It's a very high post. And to be qualified to occupy a high post, one has to be very serious about this connection with the Supreme through cultural rejuvenation. So, but right, whenever there are anomalies in this routine work by the administrators, there is an incarnation of the Lord to establish the principles of God and kingdom. Well, what about this age? What about this age? We have so much discrepancy in the routine work of administrators. So there's two forms of the Lord, and particularly the Holy Name and the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's the service, the job, it's a job description, is receiving these two things and ministering these two things. If people don't take it, you still present it. The Holy Name is Srimad Bhagavatam. Vigorously. That the incarnation of the Lord to reestablish the principles of a godly kingdom in the age of Kali. The poor helpless animals, especially the cows, which are meant to receive all sorts of protection from the administrative head, are killed without restriction. Thus, the administrative heads, under whose noses such things happen, are representatives of God in name only. Such powerful administrators and rulers of the poor citizens dress and hold the office. But factually, they are worthless, lower class men without the cultural aspects of the twice born. No one can expect justice or equality of treatment from once born or spirits of uncultured lower class men. Therefore, in the age of Kali, everyone is unhappy due to the maladministration of the state. The modern human society is not twice born by spiritual culture. Therefore, the people's government, by the people, because he's taking the phrase of the people by the people, who are not twice born, must be enveloped in the Kali, in which everyone is unhappy. The last is very short purport. This is final direct statement. First he addresses the Kali, then he addresses Mother Earth, of Kiki the Bull. So, you rogue, you dare beat an innocent cow, because Lord Krishna and Arjuna, the carrier of the Gandiva Bull, are out of sight? Since you are beating the innocent in a secluded place, you are considered a culprit and therefore deserve to be killed. So Prabhupada doesn't wiggle. He stays right on the message. Such murderers of animals stand to be condemned to death by the order of the pious king, like Maharaj Pariksit. For a pious king, the culprit who claims and kills an animal in a secluded place is punishable by the death penalty, exactly like a murderer who killed an innocent child in a secluded place. Right, you should have the top. So that's, if there's a foreign friction who rules the earth, and in a secular society, Prabhupada commented once, you know, secular society, Prabhupada commented once that he, Gandhi's own followers approached him and said, Gandhiji, the Muslims kill animals and eat them. Isn't there something that should be part of your message that addresses that? Gandhi's replied, that's their religion. They're just following their religion. What can I say? Right, I will not contradict their religion. They're following their faith. The Prabhupada's point was, no! There's principles of religion. And, you know, that, what is the principle of religion? Even within that religion which teaches there's standards for sacrifice, follow that standard of sacrifice, don't have wholesale slaughterhouses, and certainly not kill the cow. And even in the Quran, the higher principle is to do without that. That's for regulating those that can't do without it. So speak the message, the whole message, not just, okay, that's your religion. Gandhiji, the proponent of nonviolence. It's very sad. And that's the modern day thing. That's the best of the batch. It's all downhill from there. As far as leaders. There's certainly there are persons in the world that understand these things better than Gandhi. You know, but to be a leader, you have to have the vox populi behind you. And therefore it's not surprising, based on that statement just made, it's not surprising there's not so many persons that want to be Hare Krishna devotees because they're standards. They don't want to let go. You can be saintly and be whatever you like. Well, you know, what's Swamiji, what's the problem? They can talk about it. What does that have to do with being a spiritual person? What we have for lunch. Now, I guess the good news is that worldwide, I say this from speaking with devotees who are preaching, at least in the, you know, Australia, America, and Europe. I can only imagine it's also here in India. A wave, big wave of, not based upon tradition, you know, it's not turning to the tradition of India, but it's turning to, let's get some real values, and people want to be guided into what is real values. They want it. It's happening. They want real values. So their value, at least in America, the value was security. Because people feel, you know, insecure. So they wanted their, you know, whatever else they did was an add-on to making sure they had financial security. You know, it was the mean generation, it was called. And now it's sacrifice for cause. They're doing interviews with young people. Two that I'm aware of, one in Europe, one in California. Entering freshmen, what do you decide, what on what basis are you making the decision for your career? and it's overwhelming, something 80-85%. I want to make a difference. Instead of, I want to make some money to get security. I'll take less money. I want to do something that's going to really make a difference. You know, the thing about it, not just do what my parents did. I don't like that product. They had a set of values. I'm just making a sociological comment to say that it's a good time. A very, very good time. And I imagine it's here with you also. If it's not, yeah, then we'll get here. The wave will, yeah. There's a professor in America whose name is Burke Rochford from the University of Vermont, sociologist. He just gave a one-week seminar in Rabadesh, and this was one of his messages, sociological messages. There's no better time since the 60s in the West for influencing people in spiritual direction as right now, sociologically speaking. I'm sharing it with you for a reason. It's a good opportunity. You know, you can know, you should know what can hit the button of, maybe it's not the graduate students, but the undergraduate students who will later become graduate students are thinking this way. Values. And to understand clearly and to be able to express it clearly, how can you have real values, lasting values, that are just vox populi? On all kinds of things, you know, values dealing with education, values dealing with economics, values dealing with, you know, water, because it's one of the things is food and water are going to become increasingly more, you know, we'll just speak of other commodities, so like, you know, basic commodity, even food, rice, it's just staples. Earth is restricting, it's just, you know, directly connected to the bottom of the top. Earth is restricting because Darwin is being abused, and she's paining to see that. When you get into discussions with people that you're getting to know, find out if that's one of their buttons. And if it is, then you can get the real thing. Carefully presented, not fanatically, but maturely and carefully presented. It's what people are looking for. Now, are they ready to make the sacrifices necessary to uphold those ideals? Maybe less so, but at least respect those ideals and give their heart support, if not, you know, their life support to the whole system. Anyway, something that is important for anyone who's practicing Krishna consciousness and is compassionate upon others would want to be aware of. So, any discussion?
Manoj spoke about the importance of training in cultural rejuvenation. Even in bona fide spiritual movement, why is the importance of training not being understood? Although in Srila Prabhupada's purport it is so clearly mentioned, and that was a very modern.
Well, one answer to that is because they weren't trained, they're not seeing its importance. And going back in time, Prabhupada wrote many things that in the beginning of his movement, he was providing the blueprint and left for us to fill in the blueprint, but he, by his spiritual influence, had to create a worldwide movement that could be the frame, and then we had to put the other parts in, and the parts are mentioned in the purple. So some person just continued with that wave of numbers without the rest. And Prabhupada was able to support, I mean, the people that were surrounding Srila Prabhupada, some of the closest persons, are very, very cultured. Just by their upbringing, Bhakti Trimaraj, for example. Some of the other persons were very uncultured. But they were stepping forward, so Prabhupada engaged them and protected them by his influence. And left the blueprint. You know, the training that you have been exposed to is one type of training, a very, very wonderful training. I'll just make a comment on some other training. Anuttama Prabhu is offering leadership and management training that are he's taught it all over the world. I just read one article. Someone forwarded to me an article that was written by somebody from Europe that attended a seminar, Prabhupada disciple, you know, much older person. But a woman that attended it, she said, "Shh, you know, this should be mandatory for everybody. It's such important principles." And, you know, that no wonder we've had so many difficulties, because we haven't had this training. We have people in leadership positions who don't know how to do that leadership. They're just using their whatever it is that they have available to them to do, because they're sincere, but it's, you know, it's not, there's no guidance in training. They're just doing the best they can. And Newton just sent a little note saying, you know, I give the seminar all over the world, and we're planning to have it in America, and we have how many candidates? You know, a handful of candidates? He said, I can't. As valuable as this stuff is, it's from a material perspective, it's master's level stuff. From a devotional perspective, it's essential, imperative. And where are the candidates? I was thinking to not go to China. They want me to go to China, but I want to give here. Maybe I'll go to China, not give here. Because the why isn't people, there's a variety of reasons. People are very busy in their lives. They don't, how am I going to take out time to get trained? It's best if it's day by day. You know, that say the facility that you, that all of you have had for your training, because somebody stayed here, and it was every day. Imagine taking out the amount of time it would take to get that training by, you know, putting your life on hold and going and getting that training. Not only would it be the same, but you wouldn't have the time. Now we have this thing that's up and running called the Hare Krishna movement, and we need trainers. Do you know any trainers, you guys? those that have been trained can become trainers, provided there's quality. And otherwise, the machine is up and running. I can give more details, but you know. What does training mean, and how to do it? And willingness. So it's going to take another wave of effort to create that. The models that people have that don't have access to, even when people have access to Krishna consciousness, I'll just share this one thing. Something came up in one of the places from GBC, I won't say where. And there's a group of devotees, it's growing. So one of them got this broad idea. Hey, as housewives, mothers, wives, ladies, you know, we have challenges to do all that we have to do, and it's true. All the things that she said is true. We need, you know, so what to do? Take a model from modern standard and take it off the shelf, and let's have a support group. A woman support group. Where we can talk about our problems. And find solutions. We'll support one another. I put my foot down and said, put on the brake, stop, stop, stop. No. Because these are sincere devotees. They just, but we'll provide a model. We have a model, we'll provide that model for training. I just how you address handling complexities, the spiritual solution to the material problems. So, minus the trainers and the systems of training, it's going to go on. Even people are reading Prabhupada's books. And they're sincere, they want to go forward. So we need to do it in a quality way, and then gradually let that quality standard grow, because it's quality. Two things, consistency and quality, and something will grow. And certainly there needs to be some outreach to bring other people in contact with that which is consistent in quality. But because it's consistent in quality, when people come in contact with it, they'll go, wow. I mean, some people will go the other way. Wow, I'm staying away from that. I need too much surrender. I'm not into surrender. I'm into being spiritual. And those who are doing the training, it's challenging, you know. Just before getting on the plane, we've done an hour-long conversation with someone who's in the training position, helping to guide them how to do that training with challenging positions, challenging situations. It's challenging. Because people's lives are so messed up. From being abused and misguided and cheated and exploited. It's very hard for them. But it's challenging for the person who's training. That those things never got addressed. And going along like, I'm okay, I don't have to worry about that stuff, I just want to be spiritual. You need our support group. Or whatever. So, evening serenaded, morning bhajan. I think it's bhajan, isn't it? Is this animal song?
No.
Bhajan?
Demigod.
Demigod bhajan. Okay. Okay, I have some Mahaprasad. Oh, Krishna. I'm going to put this on. Oh, look at this. This looks good. This is from, this is the traditional speech that they make in Guyana and Trinidad. It's got a Caribbean twang to it here. Let's see.